for your victory. Thank you for your deliverance, O Lord. Thank you for delivering us out of graves of sin and darkness and oppression and even graves of sickness, O Lord. And one of these days, because you resurrected, we're going to rise out of any earthly grave that loved ones are in now. I thank you, O Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for your resurrection power. And thank you, Lord, for sharing that with us. And do you remember the time when you ran out of that grave? That song reminds us and serves as a reminder every time someone sings it of that great power of God, that releasing, delivering power of God, and you can sense it in the atmosphere today. I know there's a lot of captivity and a lot of bondage that is happening in our world today, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and there is deliverance wherever there is bondage, wherever there is sin. His grace does so much more abound. We have come to have certain expectations about our Easter celebrations. For many, the expectations have included new clothes, celebrations for children with Easter eggs and Easter egg hunts and baskets of candy, a nice Easter dinner of some meat of choice, ham or maybe lamb, or maybe a good old roast. We expect to worship and celebrate in special ways. And of course, we always anticipate and expect guests to come be with us here at APC with our church family. And we expect to receive special offerings. Years ago, I remember the 30 pieces of silver offering, and now we have an offering to save our children, which we are in the midst of giving. And so along with other expectations, this is what we have normally expected for APC Easter Sundays. Typical Easter expectations. But we are experiencing an unexpected Easter experience instead of the expected. And I want to preach for the next few moments on Easter and the unexpected. In reality, Easter, with the resurrection scenario and message, has always been associated with the unexpected. That is, somebody coming back from death. We have celebrated that every Easter of our lives. But this Easter is marked with a different kind of unexpected. Who would have ever expected to have celebrated Easter the way we are celebrating Easter 2020? We planned at APC to have services in our building here at 901 Barracks View with all of our church family. We anticipated and expected that guests would be gathering with us, as normally happens. We planned some children's ministry services and Easter egg event. And there would have been other special elements of music in our APC Easter service. But unexpectedly, all of that changed, specifically in mid-March. So we are experiencing the unexpected on this Easter Sunday. But as I mentioned earlier, this is not the first unexpected Easter celebration. There may have been others that I won't be able to recount today, but for sure we know that the very first Easter held even some greater unexpected developments and circumstances. I could have chosen any of the four Gospels. They all record this event. But Matthew chapter 28 and verse 1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers or the guards did shake. It just is something to picture all of this happening in your mind. And those keepers became as dead men. The angel answers and says to the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly then and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you." They departed quickly from the sepulcher. And I imagine they did do some moving right there. And they fled with fear and great joy and did run to bring the disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them and said, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid." And I hear that same voice and those same words saying to you and I, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." One of the unexpected phenomena that day was an earthquake, according to the second verse of this chapter. Many, if not most, earthquakes take us by surprise. People are going through their daily life routines, work, school, or relaxing at home, or maybe if it's in the middle of the night, sleeping through the night, and all of a sudden the earth starts shaking and chaos ensues and panic follows. All of that aftermath because the earthquake was unexpected. Not every cataclysmic news-breaking event is sent or caused by God. But that earthquake was. God was getting the attention of the world, and in particular the characters that were involved in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. While this coronavirus may not have been sent by God or the attending situations, God is using this to move people like that earthquake moved people that day. God loves this world. He loves each of us so much that he will use what he controls and situations he may not have caused to move the hearts of people toward him. The same way an unexpected earthquake is not experienced every day and is something that we do not ordinarily experience, God wants every one of us on this Easter Sunday to experience things we either have never experienced or have infrequently experienced. I say, may God move in our soul today. May he shake us if necessary to let us know he's the all-powerful God and he's still victorious over death. You may not have expected to have been moved today, moved to tune into this broadcast, to praise the Lord as you already have, to feel what you have already felt. And for others who may have expected to do those things, God has some other things in store for you that you have not yet even expected. God wants to shake and move the foundations of individuals and families to help them to see and experience his power, and that power is over every situation, no matter what it is. He proved that first Easter, it's over death. He's going to prove this Easter that it's over virus. And he's going to prove again and again he is over anything that you and your family are facing. God is greater and in control of that. When they got there, the ladies expected that the stone would still be in front of the mouth of the tomb. But it wasn't. They expected limitations. They expected that stone to limit them as to how far they could see and how far they could go. And you read it in Mark 16, they're on their way early in the morning. It says in verse 2 and verse 3, they say to themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, somebody needs to give a second look at the situation. When they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, and it was very great. They did not find what they expected. They found the unexpected on that first Easter. When they witnessed an unexpected empty tomb, this was their response. Fear, the verse says, Mark 16 and verse 8, there was fear, there was amazement, there was perplexity. They did not know what to do, neither said they anything to any man. That could be your response in the midst of the unexpected blessing, answer, or miracle that God is going to give you. We often say it, "I can't believe God has answered this prayer. I can't believe that God has supplied the money for that bill or for that payment that is due." Perhaps you can't believe that God would give you a better job than the one that you lost. But believe it, for God can do the unexpected. He's a provider. When Mary encountered this unexpected miracle, she did what we tend to do. She offered what she expected had happened. She talked about how the body must have been stolen. It had not been stolen. He was alive and walking around in that very area. He was very close. But she offered what she expected. I would say that we can learn from Mary's quick response. Be careful not to offer our own assessment on the problem that seems like it is so overwhelming. Mary recounts it. Three different times she made the assumption that the body had been stolen. She talked to Peter about it. She talked to the heavenly messengers, the angels about it. And she even inferred it when Jesus walked up behind her. And before she recognized him, she even said to him, "The body must have been stolen." But the body was standing right in front of her. What she thought was the case, what she expected that should have happened, did not happen. But God had come into that powerful, into that situation, and there was resurrection power. Please remember today, God wants to do the unexpected. In spite of this coronavirus situation, in spite of difficult and different circumstances, despite any other trial and difficulty that you are presently facing, He wants to do the unexpected. And I say very, very emphatically, with my shoulders squared and my feet planted, He can do it. He will do it, the unexpected. Believe it. Believe Him and believe His power. I feel a connection of faith right now, and we're going to hear testimonies of God answering situations, healing sicknesses, providing jobs, working out family relationships, working out very, very, very complex situations. God can roll the limitation and the stone away. Another unexpected appearance was the appearance by the angels. The soldiers did not expect heaven's manifestation. The scripture that we read said these angels came with that earthquake, descending from heaven, roll back the stone, setting upon it countenance like lightning. Now that says to me they weren't just bright, but they were flashing bright. There was lightning to get the attention of anyone nearby. Raiment white as snow. And watch this in verse 4. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Later on, the women come. They did not expect to be met by angels. 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 Woo. And I sense them here today. Angels, the angelic presence of the almighty host of heaven. These angels who had witnessed the unbelievable. You know, they participated in the unexpected because they were used to the unexpected. Those angels had watched as the Red Sea opened up. Maybe some of those very angels were the ones who observed three Hebrew boys believing and trusting God and walking unharmed in a burning fiery furnace, or who watched and perhaps participated in when the attack and the defeat and the death happened against 185,000 Babylonian soldiers. They were attempting to attack the people of God and the city of God. And no wonder these angels says, "Be not frightened. Be not affrighted. Don't be afraid of the unexpected," is what they were saying. And I say to you, don't be afraid of the unexpected. Accept what you did not expect. Accept what you did not expect. When, Pastor Williford? Right now, this very day. Expect the unexpected. Don't lock it away in some Bible, in some book, and say it can only happen back then. These angels knew it had happened at the Red Sea. It had happened when that Babylonian army was all around Jerusalem. It happened when those faithful Hebrew boys were in the fiery furnace, and they participated in it happening again. I say it happened on that first Easter. It can happen on Easter 2020. The unexpected. Believe it, mother. Believe it, father. Believe it, child. Believe it, family. Believe it, one in need. Believe it, one who needs healing. God can do the unexpected. When we began planning for 2020 last fall, and we looked at our APC calendar, we did not expect that there would be what we see as an interruption of our March and April church calendar. We did not expect that on this particular day, Easter Sunday, that's always so very special, as I explained earlier, we would be having service in this way. But the one who specializes in the unexpected saw it all then. He sees it all right now, and he is in control right now. In fact, he's the one that is upon me, and he's the one that is moving upon you right now. An empty church for Easter surprised us, but an empty tomb surprised them that day. The tomb was empty, but a few weeks later, the upper room was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. The building, the church, may be empty today. It may not be full today, but your house is full. Your life is full, and you're a temple and a tabernacle of the Holy Ghost, full of His praise, full of His presence, full of His power, full of faith. Let's praise Him together right now, Lord. Let your fullness come. Let your fullness come, O Lord. Fill every home. But better than that, fill every life right now. Fill every life right now. Fill every life that is watching now or that will watch in the future. Fill it right now. You may not have expected to be feeling what you are feeling right now. You may not have expected to feel tears in your spirit as we celebrated the communion service a little earlier, and maybe even now. You didn't expect that God would still be loving and dealing with and pursuing and touching you, but He is. Simon Peter did not expect the message of the angel from the Lord to single him out by name and assure him of forgiveness. The angel said, "Go your way, tell his disciples, and tell Peter that he goes before you into Galilee." That angel, by way of being sent as a messenger from the Almighty God, said, "I want you to especially let Peter know that I still love him." And you know that Peter had just a few days before that had denied the ever knowing the Lord. I want to say to somebody, God is calling your name today in this Easter service. I don't have to call it. The Lord already has and is calling it. Somebody, you didn't expect that you would repent in your vehicle or kneeling beside your couch or a chair in your home or elsewhere. But God is dealing with you right now with conviction. situation, and you can repent right now, right where you are. You may not have expected to have been baptized under these kind of circumstances, coming to a church. I heard of one dad who baptized their little girl in their tub the other night. I heard of another one that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, a little girl in a prayer meeting that was held this week. You did not expect to be baptized, perhaps under certain circumstances. If you come here to the church, there will just be a few of us, and maybe a few of your family members, a minister. But God is saying to you through this message and previously, get baptized in Jesus' name. And for some who have already expressed a sincere faith and were baptized perhaps in ways other than in Jesus' name, you feel an unexpected urging and desire to be rebaptized in Jesus' name. What you are feeling now, what you have been reading in the scripture, what a family member, friend, or coworker has explained to you about baptism in the saving name of Jesus is telling you, do what you did not expect you would ever do. Do what others would never have expected that you would do. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The angels were attempting to stir the faith of those disciples that day. In Luke chapter 24, verses 5 and 6, they asked them, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Why is it that you are seeking the one that is alive? In other words, and of course you can't blame them for being there seeking, but why would you come to a cemetery to visit a friend who is alive? He is real. He is alive. And they added, "He is not here, but he is risen." God is attempting to stir our faith the way those angels were attempting to stir the faith of those disciples. You did not expect to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your home, but you're going to receive his Spirit. You didn't expect to receive it in that way, but God is going to fill you with his Spirit. It can be outside or inside. As you feel the repentance in your spirit and the desire to be baptized in Jesus' name, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost right where you are. Go ahead and believe in the one you are feeling. Go ahead and believe in what you are feeling. It is the presence and the power and the Spirit of the Almighty God. You know, those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they knew they would have a difficult time convincing some of the other disciples that they had just had a visit from the resurrected Lord. Perhaps they were even dreading. Can you imagine someone that has passed away and then you coming to try to tell your family members and friends that they are alive again? That would be hard for anyone to fathom and even difficult for somebody to tell. But our God is a miracle working God. The unexpected that you are experiencing right now or will experience sometime in the future is real. God has intended that you have a God encounter today. I feel specifically to deal with doubt. We talk a lot about faith and we should. But in the closing moments, I want to talk about dealing with doubt. That Easter evening, that first Easter evening, Thomas did not expect to ever see Jesus again. He expected that he would be in doubt the entirety, the rest of his life, because he did not expect Jesus to be alive. He reacted with doubt. But you read that account, God, the Lord Jesus, accepted and then dealt with Thomas's doubt. He did not disqualify him. He did not immediately judge him. God will deal with your doubt today. He's attempting to through this service, through the worship, through the songs, through the prayers that have been prayed, through this message. He told Thomas, "Reach out, touch me. Touch the places that are still tender, sensitive, and meaningful to me." He wants you to go ahead and reach out and touch him. Test him, if you please, with an honest and an open heart. You won't hurt him. Touch him with your questions. Don't be disparaging in your approach, but be transparent and honest if you have some doubts and some questions. But I can assure you that you will receive a loving response from the Savior. You will receive perhaps what you did not expect to receive, and that may have been what has kept you back from coming to the Lord as you should. There are believers that are watching me right now, and you have some doubts about some challenging circumstances and situations. You are precious. You are righteous. If the trumpet sounded, you would go to heaven, but you still have some questions and some doubts. I want to tell you today, reach out and touch those wounds. Go ahead and be open and honest and transparent and reach to him. And there are others who feel like you could never serve God again. You have walked away from him. You have said, I don't want anything to do with anything associated with the church or God. But something is stirring and changing within your heart and in your life. And there has been doubts about whether you could ever come back. I know Jesus will receive you back. I know many believers will receive you back. Don't allow that. Don't let what you expected should happen. It's not going to happen. He is the God of the unexpected. I'm going to ask you if you would stand together with me, please. And I want us to take a time of prayer here to believe the Lord for what he wants to do. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. You know, thoughts are going through my mind and I'm just going to be that open and transparent. My middle name is Thomas. And how much easier it might be to have an altar service where folks would come and express their faith in God or express their pleadings to the Lord. That's what we expect would be the easiest. But can I tell you, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. He is not bounded by our expectations. I know we've got to let him work. I know we've got to have faith. I know. But it doesn't matter if it's a couch or if it's a footstool that you kneel by or if it's the wall of your living room or den that you're standing facing and you just want to get alone with God. I'm thinking of many times I see people here in prayer times just standing along the wall. It reminds me of the way those Jews would go before that wailing wall as they express hope in their coming Jehovah. But this altar call is the altar call of the Holy Ghost, the altar call of the Spirit of God, the altar call of the unexpected, a call to an altar. Every believer needs an altar, and every unbeliever needs an altar. And those who find themselves in betwixt and in between, God is wanting to stir your faith. Just tell him, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I'd take this step, but I don't know if I could be successful. I don't know if I could really be victorious. With his help and with the help of others that he puts in your life, you can be victorious. And so I want you to just regulate and order your thoughts right now, all of us, to start anticipating the unexpected. Be sensitive and be open to a heavenly, angelic, spirit-directed encounter. It can happen. We can't force it to happen. We can't fabricate a happening. But we can order our thoughts so that we will expect the unexpected. Be honest with yourself and with God about your doubts. And accept the forgiveness of God like Simon did that day. Open your life to an infilling of the Spirit of God. If you need to repent, repent today. If you need to be baptized in Jesus' name, contact us. Call the church. Contact somebody. Contact a loved one. Say, I want to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And then open your life to the infilling of the Holy Ghost, which is always attended by His presence. Peace, love, joy, and speaking in another language, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives you the utterance. God is doing the unexpected and He wants to do more. Would you join together? Let's pray right now. Lord, we come before You in our own self-made altar call today. It's not at the front of this building as it normally is, but it's wherever we are. God, thank You for allowing us to have portable altars where anytime, any place we can build one, Lord. And in being portable, that doesn't mean that it's just light or that it doesn't mean much. But I feel the presence of an altar in this service right now. And I'm not talking about the one that I'm standing before. I'm talking about the presence of forgiveness. Oh, Lord, I thank You, oh, God. I thank You, Lord, for the spirit of contrition and intercession, oh, Lord. I pray that You would help us to order our thoughts, God. I pray so that our thoughts would be in line with Yours. And while we don't know every thought that You are thinking, at least we can be prepared that when You choose to give to us those thoughts, that we'll receive them. And we're going to receive thoughts and direction, wisdom and counsel. God, parents that are needing wisdom and counsel, they're going to receive unexpected wisdom, so much that they will say, I don't know where that came from. But in essence, they will know where it came from. They know it didn't come from them as to how to speak to that son, how to talk with that daughter. I pray for Your wisdom, oh God. I pray, oh Lord, and I'm believing You. I'm believing You. I know we see the condition of lives and we see the condition of our world and we see everything that is happening around us and we see sin abounding. But it is to be expected that in the midst of all of that, there is going to be the same kind of flashing and lightning of the Spirit as was experienced on that first Easter Sunday. Thank You now, Lord. We come before You and in our doubts, oh Lord, in times of doubt, I'm thankful that You understand. God, we don't want our doubts to handle us. We want You to handle them as we bring them to You. God, we respond to the move of God in our life, in our home, in our circumstance. And God, it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop when the service ends. It's not going to stop. But I pray there's a continual flowing through the homes and through the lives of every viewer right now. I pray there is a continual flow of Your Spirit throughout the rest of this day. And then, Lord, throughout the rest of this week and then until You come. God, thank You. We love You. We praise You. And we're glad for Your goodness in our life. Thank You for being the God of the unexpected. We praise You, O Lord. Thank the Lord. He's such a good God. And continue to give Him praise and thanksgiving. Brother Reaver is going to come at this time in closing of this service. Keep your faith in God. Hold fast to Him. God bless you.
We appreciate any and all guests that have logged on, and as you can tell, we believe in the true meaning of resurrection or true meaning of Easter. And I might add that if anyone has questions about what you've experienced in your home today in terms of God's presence, we can find creative ways to do Bible studies, have you baptized, whatever you might need. We want to assist everyone on their spiritual journey. And of course, church family members, if you have reports of what God has done, send them to us. You can contact the church office on our website, apcstl.org, or 314-894-8130. Call the office. Someone will help you with that. We want to help you, and we know that these are tough times, just about impossible to get together, for the most part at least. But we, again, can be creative in helping you.